His name was Leighton Dillard, but everyone at Calvary Baptist Church in Waco called him Possum. I don't really know why, but his nickname was the least strange thing about him. Possum had been a teacher, and then something that I don't know happened to him, and at the time I met him, he had a small apartment and a little truck, and he mowed yards. And Possum had a gift for not making sense. He would ask us questions routinely when you met him, like, is it hotter in the city or in the summer? Do you live here or do you ride a bike? And he would quote poetry to us. 30 days, half September, April, June, and no wonder. The rest all eat peanut butter, except for Grandma, and she drives a Buick. I have no idea what that means. One week, Possum asked if he could sing a solo in church on Sunday. I should tell you that singing was not his gift. And the week came, and Possum backed out at the last minute, and we rescheduled, and he backed out at the last minute. He was shy, and he was anxious in front of crowds. And then the Sunday night came, and Possum came, and he sang, and he gave it all that was in his heart. And the beauty of his heart overcame the sound that came out of his larynx. There's something about singing that brings us joy. After that service, Randall O'Brien asked Possum, Possum, how do you feel? And he said, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. We gather in this Christmas season and we're remembering a song. A song that the angels sang, a song that has brought joy to the world for two millennia now. And there's something about this song that the angels sing, that tells us that we're invited to sing it too. Would you join me this morning in hearing one of the most familiar texts in all of the scripture? If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it with us to the second chapter of Luke's gospel? Luke chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. There the scripture says, there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And it came to pass that when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it was told unto them. Yeah. This is the word of the Lord. The angel song has three parts, and you know them. Good news, great joy, all the people. The angels came to bring us good news. That in Greek is one word, euangelion. Literally, I bring you the gospel. Or you could translate it this way, I evangelize you into great joy. That word, that good news, is grounded in a prophetic promise. Isaiah said, how beautiful on the mountaintops are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good news, who proclaim salvation, who say unto Zion, your God reigns. When the angel came, he was saying that God has returned and is going to keep his promise to redeem and to reclaim his people, to restore and to remake the whole creation. And it was good news indeed. You see, about 600 years before that night, that starry night on the hillside, the prophet Ezekiel, in the 10th chapter of the book that bears his name, records this event that took place just before the exile. The glory of the Lord departed from the temple, and it had not been seen since. Can you imagine if you lived your entire life and you never once had the sense of God's presence? That's what it means for the glory of the Lord to depart and not return. For 600 years, Israel's been going through the motions in worship. For 600 years, they've been reading the scripture. They've been coming to the synagogue and to the temple, but they don't have the sense that God was with them. And suddenly, the glory of the Lord has returned. God has come again to dwell with his people. And the angel came and said, the glory of the Lord has returned, and it is in a manger. This baby king is not the king anyone expected to see coming. He's better. He's more. He is among us. He is with us, and he is for us. And he will know what it is to live in a world of sin and suffering so that we can know that he loves us enough to rescue us, to save us. If you think about it, this baby who was born in the manger is the only child in the history of the world who got to choose the details of his own birth. This son of David, who was destined to sit on that throne forever, got to choose his own parents and the place of his birth and the nature of his birth. And if Jesus could choose anything in the world, what he chose was a cave for his birthplace, and a feeding trough for a crib, and field hands for worshipers, and peasants for parents. And if Jesus would choose all of those things, don't you think he would choose you too? Christmas means that you are as welcome in God's family as any king or queen. That you're as valued among God's people as any great patriot, that you are as forgiven as King David, that you are as beloved as any witness to the birth of Jesus. The cast of Christmas is open to anyone who wants to be in the play. And the good news is that God has returned to reign, to be sovereign over creation, and to welcome us each and all into his family. That good news occasions great joy. Jesus will later say in John's gospel, I have told you this so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. The this that he told them was, I am the vine and you are the branches. That our lives and our love and our purpose in life comes to us through Jesus, and that we know peace and hope and joy and love only to the extent that we know and follow Jesus. C.S. Lewis wrote that God cannot give us a joy and a peace apart from himself, because it's not there. It does not exist. There is no such thing. Jesus came at Christmas and taught us to follow him through the days of his life in order to give us joy. He didn't come to give us lives with burden. He didn't come to give us more duty. Those things come with the territory. He didn't come to give us guilt. He came to take that away. He came to give us joy. And he came to give us joy that we would share with all the people. The shepherds who heard the angels knew what to do. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. I mentioned last week that Luke wrote two books that we still have in our possession. The first is this gospel that tells the story of the life and earthly ministry of Jesus. The second is the fifth book in the New Testament. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And it tells the story of the early church. And if you'll catch that parallelism, in the second chapter of the gospel, the glory of the Lord came down upon this small group of shepherds on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. In the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit came down upon all of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And in both books, what Luke is trying to tell us is that God has come to be with his people, that he is sending us out to share the good news, that the greatest gift of Christmas is Jesus. Because only Jesus makes the difference in our lives. Luke will go on to write in Acts, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus gives abundant life and eternal life. And the invitation of Christmas to us is to become good news announcers, good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. And we can only sing that song when we know that all of the people means each and every person. About 2 weeks ago, Keisha and Ara Smith were sitting with Brad and William Jernberg in the fellowship hall. Ara and William are each 6 years old. And Keisha had gotten for Ara a gourd that has a nativity scene placed inside of it, and she was showing it to her for the first time in fellowship hall, and Keisha was so excited to see it. And she took it from her mother, and she went to show it to her friend William. She said, William, look, this is a nativity scene just like we have all over the church, except in this one, Jesus' skin looks like my skin. Do you understand what's happening this time of year? Jesus promised to make us more like him. And to do that, he came at Christmas so that we could see him and see that we look like him, each of us and all of us, because we're created in his image, because we bear his likeness, because he's inviting us to be a part of his family. Good news, great joy, all the people. Well,